until 3 a.m. Thursday morning.
Featuring the newest and the best in indie, alternative, and experimental music.
With your hosts, Jeff
and Christine.
So tune in.
It's really gonna go.
Yes, yes. It is Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock at WUSB Stony Brook. And that means one thing at this time. That means it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you. Just let me know when you turn the microphone on.
Okay, I'll let you know. Let's see. What's a good time to start? I think I'm ready to start the show now.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice if you actually did a decent show for once.
All right. Yeah, hopefully.
You guys shut up out there!
Yeah.
I swear, you know, some of the people...
Yeah, it's sometimes starting the show is really hard, but all right. So are we going to do this?
I'm going to talk to them.
Yeah.
No, let's just begin.
Oh, all right. I'm going to turn the mics on now.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, it's another cold winter, autumn. No, I'm fine. Everything's great.
It's a beautiful day, Carl.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
It's wonderful outside. It's wonderful inside. I'm just filled with overflowing with cheerfulness, I guess is the right word.
That's good. Yeah. I'm sure all the listeners out there are. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, joined by Emmanuel.
Hello, how are you? We are here this Tuesday evening, as we usually are every Tuesday evening, to sum up what's going on in the world, what's going on in our lives, and hopefully hear from some of you as well.
Yes, yeah. And I have exciting news about...
Do tell.
Well, something we're doing here at WUSB... is
sorry, that was my soda I was opening.
Is something we refer to as Radiothon. And before before you get confused or pass judgment about what that might entail, let me excite you with what this actually means. This is a community radio station.
Yes, that it is.
Originating at Stony Brook. And we have a fantastic community here, and in part, what allows that community to be unique and vibrant and, I dare say, vital is that we're supported. That is, how we actually come to exist and persist is through donations. So this is the time of year we are accepting donations. Now, don't call yet. I'll give out the number shortly. But be prepared, because this is what it's about. We need your support.
Yes. That's how we stay on the air. That's really how we do it.
That was just an alert I wanted to start right off with, because there is a sign in front of me, 2015 Fall Radiothon in progress. Better believe it. So think about it. $5, $10, whatever you can. We'll be taking your calls for that. And I think we'll get the old phone system working here so that we can take your phone calls. If you're on campus, if you're out in the community, if you're around the world, if you're on some sort of freighter or...
a freighter?
Airship of some kind.
A dirigible. Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not? If you have a moment to call us and pledge something.
If you're free.
Yes. Yes.
So, what would you like to talk about tonight? What do you have? What's going on? I don't know.
It's interesting because both of us yesterday were spending some time watching the election. And for those of you who are saying, but Kyle and Emmanuel, there was no election. Well, we'd have to say, no, you're completely wrong. You couldn't be even wronger than you are, because there most indeed was an election yesterday in that country to our north.
Yeah, Canada. Yeah. There was no election, just like there was no Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. We missed that. That was 2 weeks ago. They had an election last night. We have Canadian TV, so we were able to watch the whole thing. Canadian radio in the car through the satellite thing that we got.
And we watched it on their public affairs channel, which is CPAC.
CPAC. What does that stand for? Canadian Public Affairs Channel, maybe?
Public Affairs Channel. I believe that fits.
Okay.
If you have a suitable drop in there, we'll accept any answer. But that, I think, is what we what it is.
It's like C-SPAN.
Equivalent, yes.
Yes. And, yeah, we just had that on. It was on every single network. It was on CTV. It was on CBC. It was on Global. It was on all the network and local channels, too, the election returns. And what they had basically was election for their House of Commons, I believe. And through that, they choose a new prime minister or keep the old prime minister, depending on how how they feel, I guess. There's several ways, you know, there's a lot I don't understand. Yeah, several ways it could have gone. It was obvious the liberals were winning. I was watching the Atlantic Coast provinces come in. That's Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island. Unanimous for liberals, which, you know, is a word they use up there freely. Here we use it as an insult. There it's an actual party. And they had, I believe, three main parties running.
Yeah, once something that struck me that I really learned about was the riding. The term riding or a ridership, that fascinated me, and I didn't even look it up. I basically inferred from watching that is equivalent to a district.
Yes.
And the ridings that report for a particular, or the reporting numbers from that equate to a district are built up of ridings. It's something like that. And it was really interesting, but they kept saying this word.
Yes.
And if you don't understand the system, you wouldn't realize how it works, what that really means. But it is similar in some ways. And it was a huge, huge win for that party, the Liberals.
Yeah, they needed 170 seats to be able to say they were a majority. But what they could have done was they could have had a win. They could have had the new prime minister with a minority government instead of a majority government, because Stephen Harper, the current prime minister, wouldn't have survived the vote of confidence with the kind of returns that came in yesterday. So the whole thing is really fascinating. I wish we had more of a system like that here, but we have what we have. It's fascinating to watch up there, and I think we should take an interest in what's going on to the north, because there's so much that we can learn.
Yeah, there was a comment, I think I heard it just this afternoon, from Trudeau, basically saying to people who doubted or thought that a compassionate and I'm paraphrasing, but a specific kind of Canada that had a certain warmth and cared in the world, he just said, "We're back." And
yes.
I think that's interesting,
an
attitude, because he really does want to make the distinction between the current or status quo, the leadership that's there, and what they're looking forward to and looking towards. And that society, that culture, all of that is very close to us, as much as our neighbors in the south.
Yes.
So we should be related and understand.
Justin Trudeau will be the new prime minister of Canada after a certain amount of time passes, I guess. But it's just really interesting to see that come about, to watch things change up there as well. And I guess, you know, there's something that we can maybe learn here. Maybe we can have a conversation here as well. We had the debates last week. We had the Democratic debates, and I was on, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? I think it was.
It was in Vegas.
It was in Vegas, that much I know. And, you know, again, a bunch of people that we hadn't heard from before,
right.
One of whom has already dropped out.
Yes. Yeah.
The guy who was complaining about not getting enough time. Well, now he has all the time in the world because he's no longer running. That was, Jim Webb was his name?
Webb,
okay. And then you had the other two guys who didn't really say all that much that was that interesting. But Bernie Sanders, I thought, really did a number on topics and just bringing things up and
being personable and charismatic too. I think he very much, his interactions and stuff, he had his positions of course, but was likable. I think there was some charm there.
I never realized how much like Larry David he was until Saturday night when,
oh my gosh, yeah.
David did his impersonation.
It was really funny.
Wow.
That was a great parody of it.
But, you know, Hillary Clinton, I think she came off well in the debate. I think she defended herself well. She kept smiling, even when she shouldn't have been smiling.
In stride, and yes.
Took everything in stride. It just didn't feel like, you know, she was getting too riled up. She was able to handle challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's talk that Joe Biden might be running, which I think, you know, personally, I think it would be a nasty thing to do at this point in time. I mean, I believe there should be dozens of candidates. I really do. But it's pretty clearly something that is a swipe at Hillary at this point. Because she's invested all this time and energy and money.
It would be a very specific rivalry.
And for him to just stride in at this late hour, first of all, you save a ton of money by not running a campaign until now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were in the same administration together. You know, it's basically saying that, she's not good enough. I'm gonna run this thing right. You know, just courteousness, I would think, would dictate something else. Just because of their established relationship. That's really the only reason I would say that. Otherwise, you know, anyone can run at any time. But if it's somebody that you've worked with in the past that's been on the same team and you just walk over them and say you're a better candidate at this late stage, just doesn't seem right.
I think what you're also saying is that it would show some divisiveness, as if there wasn't, but in some disconnect, some abrasiveness in the party, it would dilute
absolutely
the message or the platform, because you'd have that sort of vying for it rather than, what is there continuing to be, I don't know how to say this, continuing to be slimmed down from what it is. I mean, it would, to jump in, I think it would displace sort of the message in a lot of ways.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
We're getting phone calls already. That's exciting. Thank you for that.
There's no one to answer them, is there?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Operators are stuck in the elevator.
Yeah, we can't take your phone call on the air because you'd have to give us a credit card number, and that would get... We trust our listeners, but we can't just assume that everybody isn't going to write down those numbers when they're broadcast over the radio. So we have to have a secure line. We have to have a room that is not being broadcast to the world.
Right.
And when that happens, we'll be able to take your phone calls. But thanks, people, for trying to call us, and hopefully we'll...
We love the enthusiasm, though.
That
is great.
We really do.
Keep that up.
Yes, absolutely. We could go into delay, I suppose, and take the calls in real time.
We could, if you want.
Well, we need a bigger delay than what we have now. We only have 7 seconds.
Yeah.
If we had, say, a 30-minute delay, then we could hop ahead and do the show and then take the calls that are coming in now. You see how that works?
Okay.
It's like it's quantum physics of some sort. I'm not exactly sure how. But anyway, look, the thing is, it feels like this campaign is in this country has been going on forever. It's finally like getting into late October. The end is in sight. Election Day is only, a couple of weeks away? And then we can breathe again. It's been going on since what, January? Before January, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, right? It's insane.
Yeah,
so
the Canadians.
A couple of weeks, we are going to know who the next president is. What?
No.
What do you mean no?
Well, we'll have a better sense of what the general election is going to be like.
Yeah, well, that's what the election is for, Kyle. Election Day. Election is where you elect people.
Okay. Well, I was just going to...
Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
The quizzical look?
Yeah, the quizzical... Emmanuel's gone off the deep end again. Look.
Well, I don't... Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I don't follow exactly what you're saying.
I'll simplify. There's been a campaign. It's been going on forever now, since last year, it feels like.
Okay.
Election Day is coming up. Campaign ends on election day, right?
What election day?
The one coming up in a couple of weeks.
Which...
November or whatever it is. Fourth.
No.
Third.
No.
What?
Oh, you're so confused. No.
What's wrong?
No.
What am I confused about?
It's actually a year after that.
Oh, please, no. You're telling me... You've got to be kidding. You tell me there's another year added on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're not even... It's a 2016 election, don't you?
Hold on. I watched the Canadian election yesterday on television, and everybody was saying... This is the longest campaign we have ever had in our history. It lasted a full 78 days. They said that. 78 days. It was a marathon election campaign. And you're telling me, you're going to sit there and tell me that the campaign that we have in this country, which has already lasted most of this year, is going to last another year on top of that? That's what you're telling me?
Well, if you look at it like the Canadian prime minister, that election is equal to, say, like an off year, like Senate race or something.
Uh-huh.
In that sense, you might be able to say that isn't something we talk about as long. But see, this is an American presidential election. So we get a good running start, about 400, 500 days minimum.
But when is there time to govern? When is the actual time when you're not running for an office? When does that happen? Because you're saying that virtually half the period of time, 2 years now, of a four-year term is spent campaigning. And that means that we're off half the time.
Right. Well, when the government's not shut down, yeah.
Yeah, and then they shut down the government, too, for the other half. Oh, boy. Okay, all right, fine. Well, then that kind of throws me off. I thought we were going to be finished with this in a couple of weeks and that we would have a new president.
Yeah. No, it's a big deal. We like to spend a lot of time on it in this country. They are really open and shut in some of these nouveau
78
democracies.
Days. 78 days. They were complaining about 78 days.
78 days. What a world that would
can
be.
Can you imagine a U.S. presidential campaign that lasted 78 days?
Yeah.
And was considered a long campaign?
Yeah, well, when the guy was in here installing the Trump box, I mean, he was explaining why he had to come in twice yearly. It's because the campaign is such a long season here. He worked in a different location, but anyway, I won't get into all that.
I heard the Trump box on another station the other day.
You did?
Yeah, apparently it makes the rounds. It's on a commercial station now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear that they're compliant.
Yeah. We tried compliance, didn't we?
Did I mention that it is 2015 Fall Radiothon here at WUSB Stony Brook?
Yes. Are there people that answer the phone?
No.
Then what's the point mentioning it?
No, I'm just getting people excited.
Okay, I'm excited. But if you call 631-632-6901, nobody will answer because there's nobody in the room to pick up the phone.
That's right.
You're not supposed to call attention to that, but...
That's right, but... I think you could probably donate at WUSB.FM.
Yes, you can do
which
that.
Which is our website. And yes. That would eliminate the actual phone call part of it. If you're one of those high-tech, you're one of those cyber jockeys out there on the horizon of the internet, yeah, you could just go to the website and donate that way.
Yes, that works just as well. Lean on that zero a few times.
Yeah,
you know, and donate as much as you possibly can, and keep us alive, keep us going for the next however long, at least through the next campaign, and when that ends. My God, I can't believe another year of this. Canada could have another election in that period of time. You realize that they can call elections.
Yeah, mandatory elections.
Yeah.
Mandatory voting.
All right. What else? I'm trying to wake up the computer here, but it's not waking up.
Well, I think you have to hit Alt or Control.
There it is. No, you have to hit it a whole bunch of times.
Okay.
We have a match coming up on Thursday, just for those of you following Europa League. Our team is, how do you say it, Kyle?
Michelin.
Okay, the Danish team. MIDTJYLLAND. That's why I have trouble pronouncing it, because that's how it's spelled. Mm-hmm. They will be playing Napoli. I'm looking at a story now. It's actually a story about this. This is group stage, and Michelin has won both games that it's played, so they have a total of 6 points, and so has the team that they're going to be playing on Thursday, Napoli. And the other two teams, the one from Poland and the one from Belgium, have both lost their games. So right now our team, that's the one we're following, is in pretty good shape, but we're facing the team that we're probably going to get completely... killed by, I would say.
Napoli.
Yes, we're considered the newcomers. Newcomers at Michelin have taken Group D by storm, but will face a stern challenge against Napoli on Thursday. The sides are meeting for the first time. It's Michelin's first encounter with Italian opponents, and Napoli's first game against a Danish side. So there you go. That's we play in this Group D. Until sometime in December, and then the top two teams of Group D move on to the next round, however that plays out. And while all this is going on, the qualifications for Euro 2016 are also happening. And I'm happy about this because a number of teams have already been decided. This is where nations play for the European Cup. And a lot of underdogs have come through this time. Yeah, you've got your Germany, you got your England, you got your Spain. Those teams made it through. But you know who you don't have? You don't have Netherlands. They didn't qualify. They lost.
Woohoo.
They lost to Iceland. they lost their group to Iceland. And I just think that's simply incredible that we're gonna see representation from them. Iceland in the finals of Euro. Wales, Slovakia. We were in Slovakia. Romania, Northern Ireland, Croatia, Albania. We were there too. Portugal. Well, Portugal's usually there. The teams that, and Turkey as well. Those are all underdogs that I'm thrilled are actually going to be in the finals next year. And teams that could still go through are Bosnia-Herzegovina, Ukraine, Slovenia, and everybody else is pretty much, Republic of Ireland, they might make it through as well. Imagine that, Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland in the same competition. That'd be cool.
That would.
Yeah. And Wales and England are in it, and that just leaves Scotland as the only part of the UK that didn't make it. So
Malta, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So that's your update as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, space station update. We give those as well. Tonight, there was another sighting. For those of you who forgot to look at the skies a mere 15 minutes after our show a couple of weeks ago, well, you have another chance tonight because it's a crystal blue sky, and the space station will be bright and passing overhead. At 7:55 p.m. tonight in the local area, if you look in the west-northwest skies and just stay on the western half of the sky, you'll see the space station passing by. It'll last for about 5 minutes, maybe a little less, maybe more like 4 minutes. And then tomorrow night, it'll be even brighter at about 7:03 p.m., and that'll last for 5 minutes. So two chances.
Wow. All yeah. right. Exciting. Good stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to be something I'll probably step out and try to catch.
We'll screech the corridor halt again and mm-hmm. jump out onto the highway and point up and say, look, that's the space station, and mm-hmm. meet a lot of people.
Yeah. So, anything else you'd like to...
I've got other things, but I figured I'd give you a chance while I have a refreshing beverage.
Yeah, it is WUSB, Stony Brook. It's very, very warm in the control room today. I just wanted to point that out. I think it's part of the winter preparedness campaign around here at WUSB. We want everyone to be sweltering most of the time this autumn. And what better way to fight off any kind of winter blues that might come upon you than... cooking you.
It is a little warm in here. That's true. Well, I turned off the fan because the fan was making so much noise you couldn't hear us. And it's kind of ridiculous that you have to have a fan going full blast in a radio studio.
It is.
But Stony Brook wrote the book on ridiculousness.
Okay. You have a story. Okay.
Well, yeah, this is in today's paper, actually. Three local teenagers in Commack. That's the town we're boycotting because
yeah.
they were so filled with hatred when it came to immigrant children last
Stupid.
Year.
Stupid. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, three kids from that particular community, maybe they were speaking out against that kind of hatred that exists there, maybe. Who knows? They are charged with breaking into the Commack Union Free School District computer system. And what does that mean, Union Free School District? Are they boasting that they don't have a union?
Yeah, it's in the name, maybe.
I don't understand. Why is that something that makes you proud?
Because maybe you're a public institution that's non-union, so...
Who cares?
You're a public school, but there are no teachers' unions. Okay, it means that you can't strike, that it'll always be on. It's like 24/7 school or something.
Why does that have to be made so clear just in the name of the district?
Because shills... you know, pen pushers make those names
it's
up.
It's like calling it the Commack Good Pension School District. You know? I mean, why put these things that have nothing to do with the name of the school district?
They're not creative. They're not creative. They have no concept of what a nice-sounding name might, you know, look like or sound like.
I went to the Three Village Central School District.
Okay.
Which is also weird because that's the only school district there is. There isn't a Three Village Eastern School District or Western. There's only the Central. I don't know what the Central was for, but it made more sense than Union Free. And I think they had a union.
So.
Oh, the story. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I get caught up in things. The Comac Union Free School District computer system they broke into. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. And they altered the class schedules and grades of about 300 students at Comac High School.
That must have been a lot of work.
Apparently, yeah. Well, who knows what they did? They might have just added a letter to everybody's name or something, or made a non-existent class and enrolled everybody. Who knows? Anyway, three teenagers were arrested yesterday, charged with breaking into... they kind of repeat themselves here. That's pretty much what I already said. But these arrests followed an investigation launched in July when district officials first contacted police to report the breach. An investigation by the police computer crimes section confirmed the schedule alterations and found grades belonging to two unidentified students had been changed. Police said the district was able to correct the changes without affecting student schedules. I'm not exactly sure that would be a concern.
I heard 300.
Well, 300 schedules. It's kind of confusing here. The class schedules and grades of 300 students were affected. They found grades belonging to two students had been changed, and they were able to correct the changes without affecting the schedules. So does that mean the 300 schedules are still changed? Or maybe those schedules are now reality? Maybe they actually schedule classes, and that's the schedule that they have to follow now. I don't know. It's really, really kind of confusing the way they wrote this. In a statement on its website, which we presume has not been hacked, the district said it is conducting a full electronic security review with a network security company, undoubtedly charging them through the nose for that. This is kind of good. Once the breach was discovered, password protection safeguards and network protocols prevented further access to the data management system. In other words, they either installed passwords or they changed passwords. Something they really should have done from the beginning.
Right.
And this is how they dealt with the situation. Password protection safeguards. That's what they utilized.
Hallelujah.
No further private or personal information was accessed. That's according to the school district. They believe the breach only involved a very limited number of high school student records and that Social Security numbers were not compromised because they are not in the system. Well, good on you. How about that? Okay, they protected their Social Security numbers by not keeping them there. If they had kept them there, they would have been compromised. So there's a lesson to be learned. Types of information that may have been viewed include student ID numbers, which fortunately now are different than Social Security numbers, name, address, contact information, and student schedules. Not exactly, you know, the hottest information in the world, especially if you already go to that school. Anyway, you know, I think they're going a little overboard here with actually dragging people into jail, getting cops involved, putting them on the front page of the newspaper. It's I don't want to say it's just a prank, but it's more like a challenge. Like, how secure is your school's computer system? Everybody has thought about that at some point. And if you can figure out a way to breach security, well, that's something that I think people should know about, if there's a way to do that. You know, if people can find security holes, the rest of us need to know about those. Now, did these people tell anybody? Maybe not. Maybe they just use it for their own benefit.
Right.
But even so, these are kids in high school. It's the equivalent of spraying graffiti on a wall, I think. And if it took them this long to actually figure out something was going on, that the grades weren't right, that the schedule wasn't right, I think they have bigger problems than these three kids. The problem is they have no training to keep their own system secure.
Yeah, they shouldn't be pointing the finger solely on actors. In a place that is, there's a lot of people there with the potential to change some of this stuff. I mean, it's not these individual students, and this is exactly the kind of contingency they should have plans in place for as the authority figures at that institution. It's not like they have some skill in particular, other than maybe being slightly more curious or inquisitive, but it's not on them. If the system is designed in a poor way, especially for the environment.
Yes. It doesn't really reflect all that well on the district itself that mm-hmm. they're getting all this publicity about a security breach by its own students. It's something that I think they need to approach in a different manner. And there are healthier ways of doing that.
Indeed.
All right. This heat's killing you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable in the studios today. You are listening to WSB Stony Brook, probably my sixth ID this hour. That's all I can think of from my emergency training here at the studio. But a lot of exciting things going on. We're going to have a new studio someday and maybe even a better reception on campus and more opportunities and... yeah, and we take phone calls.
When the people are here to answer.
Yeah, but not now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes, okay. Well, I have more stories I can read, but I'm hot too. It's very difficult to breathe in here.
Yeah.
So I might need some, a little bit of a push now and then.
Okay.
All right?
All right, well, I'm here.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, it's sort of like... what I imagine starting a colony on a new planet would be like. You'd be in a confined space, constantly on the radio, talking to people that aren't really talking back.
Right.
And it would get clammy.
It would. It wouldn't be as hot on Mars.
That's true. Actually, you could probably air cool things relatively well. I don't know. But yeah, here it's artificially... hot. Maybe this would be like a space trip.
This is more like Venus, I think.
Venus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about guns because that's one of our favorite topics.
Yeah.
And a couple of stories. You know, I'm not gonna get on my pedestal about this. I'm just gonna look at a couple of stories that pieces in Newsday that came out over the past week and look upon them as sort of telling. You know, the reaction to them.
Sort of a litmus, if you will?
A bit of a litmus, yes. But it's mostly telling as far as the reaction. Very, very telling.
Okay.
Here's a story. Democrats, including Representative Steve Israel on Friday, called on the GOP-controlled Congress to pass legislation that would expand background checks to gun purchases made online or at gun shows. Okay?
I mean, sure.
Is there anything radical about that? Basically... background checks on gun purchases made online and at gun shows. We have background checks for people who walk into gun stores and buy guns, you know, and that's something that people seem to not have a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do that as well for purchases online or at gun shows? Anyway, at a news conference in Great Neck, Israel and gun control activists cited a surge in mass shootings in urging passage of the Public Safety and Second Amendment Rights Protection Act. Yes, even call it the Second Amendment Rights Protection Act,
yeah.
A version of which failed in the previous Congress. We have had almost every week on the floor of the House of Representatives a moment of silence memorializing Americans who were murdered by guns in mass shootings. Enough silence. It's time for action. Now, gun sales through licensed dealers are subject to background checks. Beyond extending background checks to online and show purchases, the Public Safety Act, which is co-sponsored by my favorite person, Representative Peter King, you know, the right-wing jerk who I'm always jumping on for whatever it is he says.
PK.
Here he's actually saying something that makes sense here. He's actually supporting this.
Good on him.
Co-sponsored by him.
Wow.
This would provide grants to states and tribal governments to add information such as mental health records to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. This is what the right-wingers are pushing for, right? The mental health thing. Keep it out of the hands of the mentally ill. So you would think that something like this would be greeted as
right.
a sign of sanity. And no, it's not. If you look at the commentary that follows these stories, invariably, on Newsday definitely, and on many other papers, almost unanimous People are outraged by any attempt to regulate in any way, including background checks. Now, this guy, Russell, says he's proposing a law that is already in place. And before the liberals start parroting the lie that there is a gun show loophole, there isn't. I have bought over a dozen firearms at gun shows and have had a background check run for every one. So then what are you upset about? That they want to run background checks at gun shows that you already have gone through. You're against this because they want to apply it to everybody.
Yeah, it just sounds like it's a gun show that was being proactive.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one from Jeff. Gun violence does not exist. Guns do three things. They function, they fail, and they rust. Violence is from the heart. Gun violence is an oxymoron. An inanimate object can neither be violent or peaceful. Claiming that gun control would deter violence is delusional. Gun control only worsens the situation. 92% of mass shootings since 2009 have happened in gun-free zones. So basically what he's saying is we need more guns. Because I've never seen people defend an inanimate object so much as gun rights people.
Right.
You know, it's absurd. I mean, car enthusiasts, they don't defend cars when cars run over people. They don't say, oh, the poor car, you must take care of the car. It didn't do anything wrong. Obviously, it was the person behind the car. But you don't just hand cars out to anybody. You know, if a kid is driving a car, you know, a six-year-old runs over his three-year-old brother, and you know, they're going to be against that sort of a thing. They're going to say that should not happen. There needs to be some kind of oversight, some kind of regulation. And the gun people just simply don't see this. It's really, really pathetic.
You'd think that they would be out front so that they could get maximum say in the kinds of steps that do get implemented. But here they're like basically going to attack it from the rear, from the fringes, and try to discredit it instead of like being the architects of what that constitutional right is interpreted and, you know, how that's really respected, but also, I don't know, reframed in the modern context when we're talking about an industry, because it is an industry. There's Absolutely. Plenty of industries that are regulated and so on.
Yeah, it's just these people are really their own worst enemies because they're showing that their position is not what they say it is. They are not for responsible ownership because anytime somebody proposes something that's responsible, that allows them to hold on to that which they hold so dearly, they're against it.
Yeah.
They are against it every single time. Here's another this was actually an opinion piece originally printed in the Washington Post and reprinted in Newsday. It was entitled, "I'm a Responsible Gun Owner, So I Destroyed My Gun." And this Steve Elliott writes, "I bought my first gun when I was 12. It was a Browning 12-gauge shotgun, and I saved money from my paper route and cleaning a drive-in restaurant to buy it in time for dove season. In the years before I could legally drive, I'd tie the Browning across the handlebars of my bike and ride to the fields outside town to hunt. I've owned several guns since, deer rifles, target rifles, shotguns, and a handgun. I bought that gun, a semi-automatic Ruger, to keep my family safe and locked it up to keep them safe from it. Like I said, responsible. Although I'd like to believe I'm not party to the gun violence that stains the United States, I can't. My grandmother shot and killed herself with a gun. A few years later, my father shot and didn't quite kill himself with one. A family friend lost a teenage son in an accidental shooting while he and his friends were playing with a gun. My stepbrother died in a murder-suicide with a gun, and the husband of one of my sister's co-workers was killed in a mass shooting by a guy carrying three of them. None of that happened with my gun, of course, but after every new mass shooting, I'm reminded that I, as a responsible gun owner, bear a portion of the responsibility for our nation's gun violence. And now it's time for responsible gun owners to help end it. After the recent shooting in Oregon, after every mass shooting on a college campus, movie theater, elementary school, whatever, someone from the NRA or some other gun rights group or someone in Congress or running for president goes on television and says we can't fund federal studies on gun violence or have universal background checks of gun buyers or do anything that even hints of gun control because it infringes on the rights of responsible gun owners. My gun is being used to argue against doing anything to even try to reduce gun violence in the nation. That's what being a responsible gun owner means now. I'm responsible. I'm a bit ashamed of how slowly I came to that realization. For most of my life, I never thought about guns. I certainly didn't weigh in on the gun control debate. Until recently, I didn't even connect the tragedies in and around my family to guns. It goes on for quite a ways, but it's real, you know, basically diving into his consciousness and coming to a decision, which you have to respect. Regardless of your position on this, you have to respect. And once again, I look at the responses that that this elicited from the readers, and it simply is, it's shocking. There's no other word. Happy to find that you feel better about destroying your guns. You definitely have issues, and we best advise to seek help. See if you can put yourself on a no-gun registry and then place a sign on your front lawn, gun-free zone. You know, all kinds of comments like this, hundreds of them, from people that just are filled with hatred and resentment that this guy reached a decision to no longer have a gun in his house, you know, as a responsible gun owner. Well, when responsible gun owners do something that you don't agree with, this is the reaction that they get. And it's really kind of sad to see that.
Sad indeed, yeah. So we'll see in the future where gun access is. I mean, it's the kind of thing that a lot of people are excited about. I mean, you can print guns now, and you can get them on the internet, and there's all kinds of video games that'll train you in using all kinds of weapons. There's plenty of outlets for that, so it'd be neat to see the kinds of changes, maybe in attitudes, that are possible in this country.
Well, there has to be a dialogue. There has to be some kind of conversation, and for that to happen, people have to let go of the absolutes. They have to let go of not yielding any ground at all on a particular topic. And you can't have a conversation if you don't do that. You can't basically even consider that maybe you're wrong. You know, maybe something is outdated. Maybe something needs to be changed. Absolutely something needs to be changed. You can't keep living the same type of life for centuries. Things have to be updated. I mean, imagine, okay, let's look at it this way. If you were using the same kinds of weapons that you had in 1776, I think you'd be pretty impatient with that. You'd want some change. Well, in a similar way, the interaction with society, the interaction with the rest of the people around you also has to change. We're not living in 1776 anymore, so the same rules don't apply. You can try and apply the words that were written then to today's modern society, but guess what? It's going to be different. Things do change. And if you can't accept that, if you're not willing to entertain that, there's no talking to you because you're irrational. You're living in fantasy land, and people who live in 1776 today are living in fantasy land. And it's time that we address that. Now, I'm all in favor of preserving whatever rights we believe that we have, that we believe are important to us. But I'm also open to considering alternatives, like the rest of the world is as well. You know, every other constitution in Western civilization has been updated this century, not this century, but within the last century. And we don't do that. You know, if we even consider doing that, all of a sudden, it's equivalent to being anti-American or something absurd like that. And we have to update our thinking, not see change as a threat. It's hugely important.
Yeah. I don't know. It's true that updates are upon us, and they should not just be new models of guns.
No.
And that's not an argument because that does not reduce the opportunities for mishaps and people, those weapons falling into the wrong hands in proximity of people who are innocent, who really don't have any interest.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're about to pass out, so I'm going to turn the fan on. This is ridiculous. It's about 95 degrees in here.
Yeah, we're broadcasting to you mildly comatose from the fabulous studios at Stony Brook. We're excited to bring
feel better?
Bring a 2015 Fall Radiothon to you. It pays for things like this fabulous fan. Actually, I think the mixtape show, it says mixtape on the
side. Yeah, we bring our own fans. Every show has its own fan.
Yeah, they're letting us borrow their fan. And we're big fans, so it works. But what we'd like you to do is go to WUSB.FM. That is the station's site on the internet. And spend your gun money on donating to the station.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't buy a gun. Buy a pledge to the station.
Yeah, you know, it's. I don't want to fixate on this. And it seems like I do sometimes, only because it never seems to leave the news. But people consider this way too much, way above everything else. And, you know, I know it's important to a lot of people out there, but you have to ask yourself, why is it that important? Why is it so important that you care about this more than you care about speech? You care about this more than you care about living in a nice place or getting health care or just doing other things. Maybe stemming violence instead of preparing for it because you believe it's inevitable.
Because this country, not every part of this country is New York City, where we have all these, you know, decades and centuries of infrastructure and people. And, you know, we haven't. No, it's spread out. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
It's wild?
Yeah, it's the frontier. And there's roaming buffalo.
Okay, you're in 1776, and I think it's the heat that got
and,
you there. No.
I'm on the
side of
this
roaming buffalo,
argument.
But the roaming buffalo aren't, you know, in cities and things like that. No, it's we live in a country, we live in a society, we need to sort of get on the same page and talk to each other and try and work these things out. Yeah, I know there's bad people out there, there's criminals, and that's one of the arguments that gun people love is that, well, criminals always get guns, so we have to do that as well. Well, imagine if that wasn't the case, and imagine if it wasn't so easy, and ask yourself how it got that easy in the first place. And it keeps coming back to all of this permissiveness as far as just handing them out to anybody that wants them. That's a problem. It's a problem in the rest of the world. They see it as a problem. They deal with it. You know, look in places like Scotland and Australia, not exactly dictatorships, where they had a problem once, dealt with it, and they have not had problems like that again. And we can do the same thing.
Here we have bulletproof backpacks.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. All right. What time is it? It's time for us to go.
It's time to end the show. Yes. An hour has flew.
I say we go on tape next week if it's going to be this hot.
Yeah, we'd like advance notice of the climate conditions within the station origin broadcasting facilities, because it's it's difficult. It's difficult when it's hot, but it's getting cooler outside, and Samhain is coming up.
Say what?
Samhain. All Hallows Eve.
That's what it's called?
Well, that's the Celtic pronunciation.
Okay.
Samhain. Yeah, it's one of four parts of the seasons, and then you have the equinox and all that. But anyway, All Hallows Eve. The fall season is upon us. We don't have time for calls tonight.
Yes, unless you're calling to pledge, but is there still nobody there? Take calls.
The lights actually went out since the show
started.
Well, somebody
went in there, turned the lights out, and that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the activity we've seen in the tally room.
It does not mean you don't have to or cannot donate. Just go to WUSB.FM and support volunteers. Maybe come down to the station, offer to volunteer yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And tell them your favorite show is Off the Wall.
It is your favorite
Maybe we'll
show.
Get some credit for that. That'd be kind of nice.
It's our favorite show.
You know, I used to be able to make jokes about things like car bombs, but you can't anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You can't.
But we can play a song about it, at least.
Yeah, we can.
Take the wind out! If they crash back down to glass, damn my dread light, peace and grow! You want my blood, universal bearing, aerial bread suit, shine a cover! Car bomb! Take the wind out!
No, I'll hear pops if they're on.